It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped up a towel around his waist. After that, he poured the water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he had said not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than the master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Shall we pray? Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Matt. We have been thinking together just starting last Sunday about changing the scorecard. You know, so often within the life of the church, we can get caught up in numbers and say, well, how big is the church? How many families? How many this? How many that? And I think then it becomes about numbers and not about relationships. And we're challenging ourselves with God's word that to change the scorecard, that it's about relationships. And last week it began with encouragement. The ability to come alongside another person to give support or confidence or hope. And at the end of the day, to ask ourselves, did I encourage somebody today? Today we're going to think of humble service. Next week it's move towards someone's pain. The week after that is joy and laughter. Then be trusting. And then resolve disagreements in healthy ways. These are really concrete ways of loving each other. Of truly loving well. Six things that help us to love well. Now, we have to be honest. You know, I'm honest. I'm realistic as a pastor. I know I'm not the best preacher in the world. I know that any one of you can go online and find a whole lot more powerful and dynamic sermon than what I'm going to give this morning. I know that's true. And I also know it's true that any one of us can go online and find a dynamic worship service. And some of them even have smoke and lights and all of this stuff going on. And you can find more dynamic services online. I know that. And so knowing all of that, what is it that I think that we have to offer here that in my mind is actually better than all of that? We have the opportunity to love each other well. Because you're not going to get that online. You're not going to get that watching TV. We have the opportunity to face-to-face love each other well. And the first piece of that is encouragement. That we encourage each other in the walk of faith. That we don't tear each other down, rip each other apart, that we would come alongside each other and point out the good qualities of things that we see and encourage each other. We all need encouragement. Every one of us does. We feel it. We sense it in our soul. How much more positive our life is when we have encouragers, somebody that's pointing out the good stuff, and we go forward in that. And so, encouragement, but today we see humble service, and we're going to see that this is the second way. The second way of changing the scorecard. The second way, when we come to the end of our day and to the end of our life, can we say that this day, somebody's life has been made better because I'm in it. Somebody's life has been made better because I had face-to-face contact with them. And I encourage them or serve them. It's a scorecard that's based in grace, where God loves us first. And then what God does in our hearts, that shapes us, and we just, it comes out in our lives. And today the one humble service kind of just fits in so well, this process that we've gone through in this year and a half as we began to look together at who we are and what's our beliefs and what do we think is important. We said in our mission that accepting God's love, growing in the Word and Spirit, and serving others, that's our mission. And we said our vision is to follow Jesus daily and serve all people. You notice the common word in both of those is service. Grace-filled, humble service. And we're going to think about that today. Because we want to love well. And when we love well, it leads us to see that there's no one beneath us. We are not to be windbags. We're not to be puffed up or rude. There's some great examples from the life of George Washington. Just came across those this week. It's just pointing out this humble service trait for great leaders and for those who would love well. It says in one account of his life that one day a writer and a few soldiers came across some who were trying to move a heavy log without success. And the corporal who was in charge of those men was just standing by and he was watching. And the writer couldn't believe it. He finally asked the corporal why he wasn't helping. And the corporal replied, "Well, I am the corporal. I am the one that gives orders." Well, the writer said nothing. Instead, he dismounted his horse, he went up, he stood by the soldiers, and as they were lifting, he lifted along with them and helped them, and with his help, the task was able to be done. Who was that writer? The writer was George Washington. He was the commander-in-chief of the entire army. And he quietly mounted his horse, and he went to the corporal, and he said, "Well, the next time you need any help and you just want to stand by, send for the commander-in-chief. I'll help." That's humble service and leadership. And then there's a time that he and George Washington and a group, they were out just for fun, riding their horses, and they were going out. And as they were riding, they came across, well, there was a wall, and they had to leap over the wall. And in the process, one of the horses knocked off stones from the wall. And Washington said, we better stop and replace them, put it back together. And his friend said, "Oh, no, let the farmer do it." But George Washington didn't feel right about it. So when the riding party was over, he went back. He found the wall and dismounted, and he carefully replaced each of the stones. And one of his writing companions had gone along and said, "Really, you're way too big and important to do that." And his response was, "On the contrary, I'm just the right size. You see, that's humility. That's humble service. But the greatest example of all is Jesus. In John 13:15, he says, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. The scene before us is an incredible scene. It's just before the Passover. The evening meal's in progress. And usually when the people came for a meal and the meal's in progress, usually there would be a servant available that would go around and wash everybody's feet, because most of them wore sandals. It was dusty on the roads. And they would get their feet washed before they would eat. But there was no servant present. And nobody was going to do it. You can almost see the disciples sitting there, especially Peter. "Peter, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to wash these clowns' feet. I'm not going to wash them." And the others are thinking, "I'm not going to wash their feet. I'm not washing his feet. I remember what he said on the road. I'm not going to wash." They've been bickering anyway about who's the greatest, who gets to sit on the right and left. Nobody's going to wash their feet. But Jesus saw it. And he got up. And just picture this. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. He's God. He takes the water basin and a towel, and he begins to wash their feet. You see, it's not about placing ourselves above anybody. But it's getting on our knees and washing feet. Humble, simple acts of love. I mean, that had been done thousands of times. People had washed feet thousands of times. The disciples have had their feet washed many times. But boy, was this time different. Jesus, the Son of God, was washing feet. And so why did he do it? Well, the motivation is given to us in verse 3. In verse 3 it says, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and is returning to God." Jesus knew who he was. That was his motivation, his security, his strength. It says he knew that the Father had put all things under his authority. That was his authority. He knew it. We also see that he knew that he had come from God. He knew he had divine origin. He knew he was God. And third was returning to God. There was a future glory. You see, Jesus wasn't forgetting who he was in that moment. Jesus did not forget where he was going that led him to wash the feet. It's not like Jesus, "Oh, I forgot who I was. And here I am doing this menial service. Oh, I forgot." It's not that way at all. He's in full consciousness of who he is. He did not forget that he was God. It was because he was God and desired to act as God that he did it. It's incredible. So what then becomes our motivation in humble service? It's not because we're some sort of unimportant zeros. It's not because we're not worth anything. That's not the reason that we humbly serve others. It's because we're loved by God. We're a child of God. We're a friend of Jesus Christ. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. Just to think of the incredible worth in just those three things. A child of God, a friend of Jesus Christ, temples of the Holy Spirit. Knowing that, that solid foundation in our lives, that security in our lives, we get on our knees and wash feet. Because we have nothing to prove. It's simply because that's how we've been loved by God. And it's settled in God's grace, and His love compels us to serve. You know, Jesus, this wasn't just a one-time act. I mean, it was his whole life. His whole life was one of humble service, of giving of himself. He wasn't necessarily adding an additional sacrament as we celebrated a sacrament this morning in baptism, and we celebrate sacrament together in the Lord's Supper. He wasn't instituting a third. Some have seen it that way. So the Mennonites, the Quakers, the Church of the Brethren, they've seen it as a third sacrament. In the Reformed tradition, we have not viewed it as such. But really, really, in my heart and mind, I would rather have it as a third sacrament than for us to never do it at all. Because it's simply not just about washing feet, it's about humble service. It's about giving ourselves. And in fact, in our day and age, it might be more make more sense to wash each other's hands because we spend a lot of time washing hands. Our feet are usually pretty well covered. But it's the hands where the germs are. And so we can wash each other's hands. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. But it's really an illustration of his whole life. Especially the cross. It says Jesus got up. Well, Jesus got up. He left the glory of heaven to come to earth. It says he took off his outer clothing. Jesus laid aside his glory of heaven to come to earth. He wrapped a towel around his waist. It was the sign and the symbol of a servant. He poured water. He shed his blood on the cross for the washing away of sin. It's really just a sign, a symbol of his whole life. It's what his whole life was one of humble service, that we might have our sins forgiven and made right with God. It's incredible. And his love and service is first. His love and service is first. You know, we cannot be saved on our own. We simply cannot do it. We need Jesus Christ. We cannot humbly serve on our own either, in our own strength. Otherwise, it becomes selfish egotism. It becomes, hey, look at me, I'm serving, and you can get written up in the paper and be all that. And it's not about that. His love has ravaged our souls. And we want to humbly serve in his name. So he is our example and model, as it says in verses 12 through 15. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I washed your feet. Now you wash each other's feet. I have humbly served you. Now you are to humbly serve each other. So we care for those who can no longer care for themselves. The aged, the poor, the orphans, the homeless. We come alongside the suffering, the lonely. We take the lower place. And it's not demeaning. It's because we know who we are. We know who we are. We know we're loved. And so we find those who need us to come alongside. And so the question is, who is God putting in our hearts and in our paths to serve? That's the question. Because God will do it. He will put people in your path during your day to humbly serve. You can ignore it. You can pretend you didn't see them. But he puts them there. We see that especially in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We're going to look at that in detail next week as we think of moving towards someone's pain. But the Good Samaritan is a parable about a man who is beaten and robbed and left alongside the road for dead. And we see that a priest, a religious person, comes and he just passes by that person. We see a Levite who works in the temple, a religious worker as well. He just passes by this person laying alongside the road, dying. But a Samaritan, who was a despised half-breed, comes along and he sees the person there and he cares and he humbly serves him and takes care of him and sacrifices for him. And Jesus asked the Pharisee who was in this debate with Jesus about who his neighbor is, and he asked the Pharisee, who was a neighbor to that man who was laying alongside the road? And he obviously responded, well, the one that took care of him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. You see, it's the person that Jesus puts in your path every day. It might not be to the extreme of somebody laying alongside the road left for dead, but it might be someone who's lonely. It might be someone who's hurting. It might be someone who's lost a loved one. It might be someone whose marriage is on the brink. It might be someone who's thinking of taking their life. You don't know. But God will place somebody in your life every day, in your path, that you can humbly serve. But we always must remember that progression. It's accepting God's love into our life, which then leads outwardly to humble service. And we're to shape our life around that every day. Accept God's love. Grow in the Word and Spirit. Serve others. Change the scoreboard. So ask the question, whose feet are you washing? At the end of the day, can you say, who did I humbly serve today? It's not about being exalted as a church. It's not about being all that. It's not about having the best of this and that and the other thing. It's not about that at all. I don't think it is. Because when we're taught, when Jesus talks about the end and we sit at judgment and the question is asked, did you feed the hungry? Did you care for the homeless? Did you reach out to the one who's lost their spouse? To the orphan, to the one who's in prison. Did you do those things? Humble service. That's what he asks. He didn't ask whether you'd have 5,000 people at worship. He doesn't ask that at all. There's no numbers there. He asks about the value of our love. And did God's love in our life make any impact and shape us? It's about humble service to each other. Who did God place in my path today that I was able to humbly serve? It's a new scorecard. A new scorecard. Did I encourage in love somebody today? We talked about that last week. Did I humbly serve somebody today? Did I love well? Which is the ultimate sign of spiritual maturity, is loving well. Did I love well? I can only answer for myself. I can't answer for you. You have to look into your own heart. At the end of each day, did I love well today? Did I encourage? Did I humbly serve somebody that God had put in my path?